Right, we're on, supposedly. Okay, so, on your screen, hopefully. Oh, you don't need all that. On your screen, hopefully, is that Hebrew word, Yetzer. And that's what God gave me this week. I need to be honest, I had to go and look it up. And spend some time. And it occurs a few times in the Old Testament. And as I spent some time looking at it, I began to think about its implications for us as a body of people. So this week's going to feel a bit different because it's going to involve you doing a bit of the work. Don't worry, you don't have to know any Hebrew. You don't have to know any Hebrew. Right, firstly a little quiz to get us going. Here we got a rather modern take on the iron bedstead. A rustic looking window. A very strange looking aircraft. And a rather drab picture trying to be set off by a ornate surround. What's the one word that links all four? Oh, frame, good, good. A window frame, bed frame, picture frame, and air frame. So that's where we are. That's where we're starting this morning. Kajeta can mean framed and formed. And in Psalm 103, takes us right back to Genesis. For he knows how we are formed. He knows our frame. Because he remembers that we're dust. As he reached down and molded, made, formed, developed the frame that was Adam, created him. A slightly different take on the word here. You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one formed it? You did not make me. Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? So there we see the framed and the forming being repeated again. Can I say to God, can I really say to God, who formed me, who developed my frame, that he didn't make me? That he knows nothing. Dare we say that? Dare we say that? That he has no understanding? The God who knows everything. I want you to think about this church. This church in March 2022. What are the words that come to mind when you think of new wine, this fellowship? What are the images that come to mind? I'm going to give you this because you're a creative person. So come on, folks. Putting you on the spot here. When you think of new wine, what words jump into mind? How would you frame new wine? All right, okay, fellowship. And if it's an image or a picture, you're going to have to convey that to Heather as well. And she'll do friendly. Oh, someone spoke on that last week. So fellowship feels important to this church. Friendly, okay. Jesus. Say that a bit louder, Jackie. A group of people who love Jesus, worshipping Jesus, focused on Jesus. It's encouraging. Encouraging to use your talents, the gifts that God has blessed us with. Important. We can use this as a motivational group meeting to inspire and encourage, but really it's focusing on God's word. It's not Andrew's words, it's not Gareth's words, it's not Ruth's words, it's God's words. Recognizing and proclaiming that they are true, the truth of his words.
Let's swear you're not afraid to worship God in the way that he desires you to worship. It's a freedom in worship. Not afraid to just be who you are.
So as he's made us with those gifts and sensitivities and gives us the freedom to express our worship of him, our praises of him, our love for him. Do you want to expand on that, Gareth? Right, so as well as encouraging, we're supporting one another, praying for one another. Prayer is important because we're not just doing things to ourselves. We're bringing God into the equation. We're bringing that person that we're wanting to support to God. Not trying to address their situation in my strength, in the Father's strength.
Hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes our trials, the challenges we face, be it sickness, problems at work, problems in a relationship, they seem massive. They, you know, they fill our headspace. But we know. We know, we trust, we believe that God is bigger than any situation that we're facing. Bigger than all of the situations that we're facing. His love for us is, what did I say, higher, deeper, wider, broader. It encompasses every situation we find. Heather's got a little bit of space left. Right. Yeah, important to be a witness, important to share. Can't hide the light that Christ has given us under a bowl or wherever else we can hide it. We must let the glory of God shine forth. We must let the light of Jesus shine out, the salvation that he offers. Sorry, Debbie, you were going to say. Hold that thought. So, okay, God, because we're talking about new wine now, right this minute. He has placed within the body, within his body, some, I'll use your word, seasoned Christians, yeah. Okay. Yeah, where he sought, you know, in hopefully in our hearts, we desire to be in the presence of God. We desire to let the Spirit have free reign. We desire to have that relationship with Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
It's participative. I can't spell that.
Everybody has a role. Yeah. And everybody is encouraged to partake. We've got the picture. We've got the picture. We've framed the picture. And God has formed us, has framed us. But has he finished with us? Has he finished with us? Have we reached the point? You know, Heather's kindly set that down within a picture frame. You know, we're a motley bunch. There's one person here who's going to help me with the next bit. Come on down, my glamorous assistant. Debbie was just saying we're keen to be part of things. We participate. Come on down so people can see. Yeah, it's far enough. Do I need to turn round? You need to turn. You know, I WhatsApped Sandra a couple of days ago and said, are you coming this Sunday? If you are, can you bring one of your bits of quilt work?
A quilty piece.
A quilty piece, yeah. One that you can hold up, not a bedspread. I don't want a bedspread. Because it's just to illustrate a point. Show the lovely people your quilt.
You need all these toys to make it, didn't you?
He made a pattern for me to do it, but it's my rainbow table.
But it was your idea.
No. He used to be in the oil world and it was a hydrographic surveyor, so we can measure. That's what I said when I first met him. Is it measuring? He said something like that. So he's able to make that shape for me right from the beginning, which helps me enormously, and he's very happy to help me.
Right. Can you see, when you look at the one that's sort of rainbow coloured, can you see the frame around it? That is framed. It's got a purpose. Might not have a purpose in Sandra's house, but it's got a purpose.
You have to use it in the conservatory, you won't have it on the table.
It's intricate in its design.
They are called Dresden plates. I adore the Dresden plate. In all checks, I've just been teaching Sheila.
This didn't happen by accident. She had to utilize her skills and draw on Pat's skills to put it together. But something happened before this was created. Before
Dan Young.
No. Sandra visualized this. She knew what she wanted to create. She didn't use a pattern. She visualized it. She used her imagination. I'm going to ask you to sit down now, Sandra. And that word's important. Because Yetzer also can mean imagination. It's not just the frame and the form. can mean imagination as well. Here's an example in 1 Chronicles. Bit of a backstory. This is King David being filled with joy because he and the people have given freely of their gold, their silver, their precious jewels, iron, bronze, and wood for the building of the temple. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. I don't know about you, but just the words of that verse I find challenging. I may be able to fool you, maybe not so much Jackie. Every time I try and fool Jackie, she she points it out. But I certainly cannot fool God. He searches each and every one of our hearts. And I what do I give to the church financially, of my time, my energy? And we have to ask ourselves, what are we giving to the building up of the kingdom? And I'm not talking about tithing is important, and giving what you feel the Lord is calling you to give to the church that you belong to is important, but I'm thinking much bigger than that. I'm thinking about the kingdom of God and the part that we play in building up the kingdom of God. And are we honest with ourselves, with one another, and with God about what we withhold and what we give, whether it be money, time, other resources? But that verse goes on, Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. Keep their hearts loyal to you. In King James it says, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. This isn't a one-off. We need to be actively thinking about how we can further develop the kingdom of God. How we can move on from the place that God has framed us to the place that he wants us to be. How can we, Debbie said, we're a seasoned bunch, but I want to see the unseasoned here also. That may be part of her imagination, her vision. Goes on. In Isaiah, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, focused, firm, because they trust in you. In the Passion Translation it reads, perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. I could let my imaginations go all over the place. We have a choice to make. You know, it goes back to Adam and Eve. It goes back before then. You know, God, when he spoke creation into existence, imagined what he was going to create. When Eve was in the garden, she'd already heard from God. You can have anything except that tree, the fruit of that tree. We spoke about it last week. And the enemy spoke to her, did God really say that? And at that point, Eve was beginning to imagine an alternative truth. And she chatted with Adam, and he too was beginning to imagine an alternative truth. We all have that choice. We can let our imaginations run riot on ungodly things, on things that will harm us and harm other people, or we can be consumed, steadfast in our thinking, in our imagining, because it is focused on God. You know, as I was looking at this, I saw a footnote buried at the bottom of the Passion Translation. I'm just going to share it with you because I thought I'd never ever thought of it this way. So it's looking at this word, imaginations, and it's saying, or steadfast minds. But it goes on. This word, yetzer, means imagination that forms and frames up. Imagination that frames up one's reality. It's unfortunate, that many today have rejected the God-created imagination that each of us possesses. You know, sometimes we sort of think that imagination, it's all about me. It's my control. So we set it to one side because I want to be God-focused. But God gave us our imaginations. He also gave us free choice. It's about how we exercise those gifts. It's unfortunate today that many today have rejected the God-given imagination that each of us possesses. Our imagination must be set apart for God and continually made holy. That's one person's opinion. You know, it's not quoting scripture there, but I think that's a helpful way of looking at imagination. That we all ought to be exercising it for the glory of God, for the building of his kingdom, for seeing that his plans and purposes worked out. I'm going to read the Passion Translation of this. This is Ephesians 3. So, this is not Yetzer, because we're now in the Greek, right? We've shifted to the Hebrew. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. And you know, if you've got the time, I already said you ought to spend some time perhaps looking at Psalm 29, but if you have some time, look at the preceding verses to this, because they set your heart on fire. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Notice he's not saying in this letter to the church at Ephesus, don't ask God anything, don't dream, don't imagine. He's not saying that. He's just saying God will move beyond that in great power, but will then energize us. But we can dream, and we can ask for things, and we can use our imagination and expect God to go even further. So this morning I'm going to get you to hopefully do some of that, because I've got an even bigger frame. We nearly didn't have this, because a couple of days ago, or about a week ago, no, I dismantled it. I thought, what do I want this ugly frame for? And so I dismantled it all and set it to go with some wood to the dump. And then God spoke to me, and so yesterday I was trying to put it all back together again. But there we have a bigger frame than the one that you helped fill about new wine today. Our imaginations, if we're working with God, can help fill that. You know, in a moment I'm going to invite God to begin some of that filling in through you. But I just want to share some. You may remember the prophecy that we had in the spring of 2019. By October, I was beginning to imagine what some of that might look like, and I'll just share it with you now. That, you know, I saw Martha and our lovely house. I saw the heavens being on fire in my mind's eye, in my imagination. I saw the glory of God over Martha and raining his blessings down on Martha. And I haven't really shared that with folk. That was all that time ago, about 2.5 years ago. And really, I ought to be moving more with that expectation, moving beyond what we have. And God has formed us, shaped us, molded us, framed us. But as we saw in that passage from Ephesians, can and will do so much more. So, I'm going to invite you. Oh, there it is. I'm going to invite you. Take one, pass the rest. We're going to pray first, I think. I'll give you pens. If you want to sit at the table, if that's easier, you can sit at the table. I invite you to fill out your bit of paper in a moment with whatever words God brings to mind, with whatever images, pictures God brings to mind. I want you to work in partnership with the Father. So I'm just going to pray before we do that. Father God, we thank you for shaping us, for forming us, for constructing our individual frames and the frame that we call New Wine, part of your church. And we've reflected, Father, we've reflected on some of the gifts, some of the talents, some of the qualities that you've invested in us. And we've recounted those and committed those to a small framed picture. But Father, we know that your vision for us, your vision for Martham and surrounding area is for so much more. And Father, we desire to be part of that. So we would ask that right now, that you help seed our imagination for what you envisage, not New Wine, but your church, whether that's New Wine with St. Mary's, Baptist, Methodist, those Christians that don't go to any particular church, that what your church will look like, will be doing in the future. If you want to put a time frame around that, that's right, Lord. I'm not going to put a time frame around it. But Lord, just speak to us right now and help us to set down on our individual bits of paper what the future church in this community and beyond will look like, what you're planning. We know that you will do much more than we can imagine. Thank you, Father. So over to you, folks. If you want coloured pens, you can grab one. Grab a couple. I'll bring some more. Thank you. You go write or draw or. Oh. That's why I said you can use the table. Did you want a card, Martin? You can do it together. Okay, that's fine. What a different colour. Just help yourself. Don't.